You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
We said number 41 Alvin Kamara is pretty good. The rest of his backmate friends, Mark Ingram, when he's not suspended. Where would you rank them, though? Jordan, the intern, has some info for you. Also, NFL Live back on Friday posed the question. Who you got? Drew Brees, Peyton Manning. We'll take a look at the stats, how they break down, and play what they had to say here in a second. Coming up next segment, Marlon Favre wants to chime in on some of the things we've touched on. We spoke with Larry Holder last hour, Jordan the intern. He also thinks 3-1's a good start to that season. And he also, as all of us feel, the start is so important. The next four games, I feel obviously we'll check in on Thursday. We'll take a look and speak with somebody that covers the Redskins, the Ravens, the Vikings, and Rams. That would be the next quarter of the season schedule. Last week, we touched on the Buccaneers, the Browns, the Falcons, and the Giants. You know, I call it every year, there's a gauntlet. There's a gauntlet in the schedule. And he thought for sure that stretch of games where you play three division winners in four games, Vikings, Rams, Bengals weren't a division winner, the Eagles were. That's a tough stretch. But after Philly, short week, right after hosting the Super Bowl champs, even though it's at home, that's a good thing. You host the Atlanta Falcons on Turkey Day. Then you're at the Cowboys, at the Bucks, at the Panthers, host the Steelers at the – I mean, then the season ends. It's a tough stretch. You got to start out good. I'd like to see 4-1, right? 4-1 would make me feel a lot better. But we touched on that a little bit. Jordan, when you take a look at the backfield of your New Orleans Saints, now who put the list out? ESPN, right?
Yeah, ESPN. Okay. This was written by Mike Clay.
Okay, so let's go five in. Well, what's number five?
At number five, we have the Dallas Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott, Tavon Austin,
mm-hmm.
and Rod Smith.
Okay. Number four best backfield per ESPN.
Your Atlanta Falcons.
There they are. With $5 to go see the fourth best backfield in the NFL.
Devontae Freeman,
mm-hmm.
Tevin Coleman, and Ito Smith. And their projected unit stats is 384 carries, 1,600 yards, 13 TDs, 86 receptions, and 767 yards and 4 TDs. Yeah.
They're good. It's a good backfield. Who's better than them?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
At number three with Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, and Jalen Samuels.
Okay, seriously, though. Anybody else know anybody other than Le'Veon Bell in that backfield?
Nope.
Okay. So Le'Veon Bell himself has the Steelers as the third best backfield in the NFL. At
number two, we have your Los Angeles Rams.
Los Angeles.
With Todd Gurley,
mm-hmm.
John Kelly, and Malcolm Brown.
Gurley had a pretty good game against the Saints last year, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can just say yeah. You don't have to go, oh, yeah. Sounded really excited for Todd Gurley there.
Kind of beasted and feasted.
He's in your fantasy team, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
He's never been on my fantasy team.
And at number one per ESPN.
This guy was on my fantasy team, though. Actually, both of them were.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
At number one with Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, and Terrence West. I don't know what Terrence West
is. Who is it again? Who's the number one backfield in the NFL?
Your New Orleans Saints.
This is where we are. It's July 9th. Why not pump you up?
We're going to the Super Bowl. This from this article.
Again, this is why the $5 on July 29th that Falcons fans would have to pay to go attend a Falcons training camp practice makes it even better. The fact that it's going to the Super Bowl host committee competition, whatever fund, They got to pay for that really good-looking confetti that's going to fall on the Saints. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Number one backfield. Dude, I'd be happy in the top five. Then you add some of the receiving corps, is what I told Larry last hour. I think this Saints offense is not going to have trouble scoring points or getting third down conversions. I just don't. I think Drew Brees is having trouble sleeping and relaxing right now. Because he's giddy. Because he can't wait. You know, like when you're excited about something that's coming up, like the next day or something, like you have trouble sleeping?
Like Santa?
Like Santa, yes, Jordan, like Santa. But yes, he probably feels like Santa brought him a bunch of treats and weapons for this upcoming year. I mean, literally, all Drew Brees has to do is get out from under center and then pick your poison. I'm not over-exaggerating, am I? ESPN thinks they're the best backfield in the NFL. Hand it off to either or. You got a member of the X-Men in Michael Thomas. He's a legit NFL number one receiver. They got at least one guy that can stretch the field. And I think two other guys that can maybe help. You got a tight end that knows where he's going. That wasn't a shot at Kobe Fleener. Just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the guy himself said he didn't know if he needed to go left or right on plays. More importantly, you have a defense that's going to give you extra possessions, right? I think you're going to have a defense that actually gets off the field on third downs. Gives them short fields to work with, you know, forcing punts before teams cross the 50-yard line. Something that Saints fans hadn't seen for years when they went 7-9. I mean, forcing a punt. Seriously, I'm not joking here, right? Like, during those 7-9 seasons, Saints fans were just happy to see a punt. Actually, I remember Todd and I would text. We'd be like, hallelujah. They held him to a field goal.
Wow.
Yes. You remember those days, Saints fans, when the defense played well enough to hold them to three. I mean, poor Drew Brees and the offense had to score every time on the field to stay in the game. And got to do that now. And you know what happened in 06 and especially in 09 when they jumped and won 13 in a row? They got on teams so quickly in that first quarter. And then the defense was opportunistic, got turnovers, gave them short fields. The Saints would punt. It was 17-0 first quarters, right? 14-3 first quarters. You know what that does? That kills the other team's ability to run. That kills the other team's ability to be able to time a possession and all that. I think the Saints defense combined with the Saints. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm relaxing.
We're going to the Super Bowl. Just say it.
No, I'm just.
Black and
stop
gold
it. No.
To the Super
stop it.
Bowl.
Don't do that. See, I'm not going to. No. Stop it.
Yeah, baby.
No. Nope. Nope. I'm just saying it's
going to happen.
It's a good team. Okay, that's it.
A very good team.
All right, let me move on real quickly before we bring in Marlon Favre, our next segment. So, NFL Live. Right? They did this overreaction Monday thing in which they're showing Drew Brees and Peyton Manning. And they're talking about Peyton Manning at the Manning Passing Academy. So I guess this was last Monday. You know, they were talking about, you know, him saying, hey, look, Drew Brees is going to pass the passing yards record and all that. Manning, 71,940. Brees is at 70,445. They're predicting what, week five against the Redskins, which is why it's a Monday night game, that he'll break the record. So the panel and the staff pose this question. Give a listen.
It's a Monday staple, our overreaction Monday, and why not start right there? But I have a feeling where I don't want to start at the end. I'll say this. Drew Brees is better than Peyton Manning. Bill Polian, is this an overreaction?
Yeah, it's an overreaction, but here's why. It's a spurious argument. I can tell you from firsthand experience, once you put on the gold jacket and you're enshrined in the Hall of Fame, all of that talk does doesn't matter.
What do you know about that, Bill?
Everybody.
What about the whole thing?
Well, I got a gold jacket.
Yeah, you sure do.
I got in the side door, but it's a gold jacket nonetheless.
You went right
but to the bottom line is, once you're part of that fraternity, the pecking order doesn't matter. Interestingly, both these guys will be, in my opinion, first ballot Hall of Famers.
Sure.
If they're not, we should Robert Mueller should investigate it in his spare time. But the bottom line is that once they're in, and it doesn't matter.
It's an overreaction. Peyton Manning, you know, I think there's a compelling case for him as, you know, one of the three greatest quarterbacks, five greatest quarterbacks of all time, wherever you want to stack him on that list, amongst the others that include Johnny Unitas and, you know, certainly Joe Montana and Dan Marino and Tom Brady. The question might be, like, are we witnessing the greatest generation, or have we witnessed the greatest generation of quarterback play ever between Breeze and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? Like, will we ever see this kind of dominant? Like, obviously we'll see prolific quarterback play because of the way the game has changed. But in terms of precision, accuracy, decision-making, leadership, this may have been, over the past 15 to 20 years, as great as we will ever see it at the quarterback spot in the NFL.
You can make an argument that the Kelly Marino Montana years, that's a good discussion to have at some point. But the numbers have to be extrapolated because these numbers
are
different time. But clearly, these three are in the archives of the all-timers in the history of the game.
I just hope Peyton Manning is somewhere with NFL Live volume down and saw Bill Polian's face with the headline, Drew Brees is better than Peyton Manning.
Fair
and
point.
Wondered what exactly.
Meanwhile, something's getting thrown at some TV across this great land.
But just to formalize this, yes, I also believe this is an overreaction, and I would never say otherwise with Bill Polian on the desk, but I would just point to the fact that Peyton Manning changed the game. Not a knock on Drew Brees, but he didn't change it, but he brought the game back to the field, to where he was the general on that field again. Whereas it was no longer necessarily the offensive coordinator, the head coach, as much as it was Peyton under center, making sure that he made sure everything happened. And he arguably is the best to have ever done that. So, yeah, absolutely. He is probably top three, if not top five, all time.
Certainly.
I'll say this. The fact that they're having this discussion, I don't think if you're a Saints fan, you can get upset. Because I think finally, Jordan, we're starting to see and hear. You heard what they just said, the three gentlemen there, right? Two analysts, Field Yates, Jeff also, and then Bill Polian, the GM, who's, you know, went on to go to the Hall of Fame as a GM. But to hear he's in there with Brady and Manning, right? Awesome. Three of the best to have done it. There's no doubt about it. I think as a player, and we'll ask Marley this next segment, if you're just considered to be among the best to have ever done it at that position, I don't think Drew Brees is losing sleep over if he's better than Peyton Manning or not. Look, Peyton Manning, five MVPs in his career. Five. I still think Brees has been cheated. He's got it. I mean, this could be as good a shot as any. Right? If it gets one, gotta have wins, man. I was having this discussion earlier today, though, Jordan, going back and forth. Is there an argument or not? Easier division? Am I wrong in saying that Manning's played in easier divisions? I mean, he basically, walking onto the field week one, had a spot in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Brees has been able to say that. Also, Brees is playing in a division where, again, we can agree on it or not, but two MVP quarterbacks exist. I mean, that's a fact. You can't take that away from me. I mean, Cam Newton had an MVP season that year. Newton Alarm had an MVP season 2 years ago. I mean, wouldn't it be incredible? If Drew Brees wins it this year, you would literally have, because I was assuming both, you know, all three play next year, you would have, at one time in a division, a single division out of four teams, three MVP winners. It's a joke that there's two. But Drew Brees is. I mean, right? I mean, Anthony Davis just became a legit candidate this year. He's a finalist. Drew Brees is not only a candidate, he's an MVP. I mean, You can't argue that. When you take a look at the numbers, Jordan, Breeze, 70,445 yards. Manning, 71,940 yards. We just touched on the MVPs. How many 5,000-yard seasons for Peyton Manning?
One.
Wow. How many of y'all surprised to hear that? How about for Drew Breeze?
Five.
And I told Larry, I see 5,000 this year. There's no way I don't see 5,000 this year. Now, here's the other one, though. Super Bowls.
One for Drew Brees. Two for Peyton Manning.
Played in three. Lost to one to Drew.
Yeah, so that kind of changes the narrative.
But here's what I'm saying. I think this is why it's so important. Look, I agree with what Bo Pullian said, right? They're first ballot Hall of Famers. Okay. Getting that second one for Brees just really elevates that conversation, right? Right now it's Favre. You got the one. It just elevates that conversation. Again, maybe this is just for fans. Maybe this is something that media like to do and banter back and forth. Who's better? Who's not? But I said this in the 2 years, and I say this all the time, that I was blessed to actually see. After the shine and newness of, dude, I'm on the sideline, and I'm doing a game in the NFL, and you're like, your eyes, you know, you. And then you, like, start observing the game, and then you're in it, and you're settling. And I've told this for years. I'm like, having watched Drew Brees in a game, he spoils you. And when you watch other quarterbacks, then try to – it just looks different. From the speed of the footwork to decision-making to the poise – to just understanding, you can't grasp the concept. You've been to games. I know you're listening out there. You've been to games. Field level is a whole different ball game. It's 1/1000 whistle, play dead. I mean, it's insane how fast it is. And the time it takes, it's not. That clock is, by the time the play ends, you're getting the huddle, you're making the call, you're reading the mic linebacker, you're doing it, you're making the audible, you're calling the protection for the line, you're putting a person in motion, you're deciding where to go with the ball, and you're 6 feet on cleats, and they're measuring your helmet probably to make it six. I mean, it would be plays that I would look, and you never see Drew. I didn't see him. You know, I'm 10, 15 yards down the field looking in towards the play, and then the ball just comes out, and it's going to, like, me. It's hitting me in the face. Oh, here come hands. Catch it first. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, the precision. I mean, it is. It just spoils you. It absolutely spoils you. Sports Hangover continues next with Marlon Favre. I will get his take on the backfield by ESPN. Saints, number one in the league. Rams, two. What, Steelers was three? Falcons was four. His Dallas Cowboys are five. We'll ask him about that. And also Breeze and Peyton. Is it hard? Should I even ask? Who would you take? Starting team. Both are rookies right now. Who would you take?
I think we're getting more Drew Breeze just because we're based in New Orleans.
Just remember the whole winning the big game, playoffs and all that other stuff. You know? Yeah. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Working so hard like a soldier. Can't afford a thing on TV. Oh, doing well. Look, ESPN just said that, they put out the best backfield in the NFL. You know, it's their opinion. Dallas Cowboys number five. Just saying, Dallas Cowboys number five. Falcons four, right? Then you had the Steelers three. And Rams two, your New Orleans Saints number one.
Numero uno. I mean, anytime you have two Pro Bowlers in the backfield, I mean, and I saw one of the guys, well, I know both of the guys, but I met one of the newer guys, Alvin Kamara, this weekend. He's pretty fast, so they got that one about right. Hello.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, look, it's one of the things that you definitely see with Kamara and Ingram, what they were able to do, 1,500-plus yards able to do so. So it's crazy, you know, when you look at it from that perspective to see what they were able to do. But, you know, one of the things, Marlon, you play D-tackle, obviously, and a lot of times, you know, when you look at the D-line, you think of the ends be the pass rushers, the guys in the middle to stop the run game. Are you seeing – I've said this, I thought last year going into it, But really, after the drafts recently, you see Saquon Barkley going, you know, to the Giants. Do you not see a resurgence in the running back position, perhaps in the NFL?
Not really. I do like the move with New York bringing in Saquon Barkley. I don't think he, in my opinion, I don't think he's a better running back than Darius Geis, but I do think he's a really good dual threat, and he's going to surprise a lot of people this year, kind of bring the running back game back to New York. It's been a while since they had a pretty decent running game, so that's going to be pretty interesting to see this season as well.
You know, I think one of the things, too, that you also see is maybe an ability to not only just do run the ball, but really, I guess, a running back that has different attributes to it, being able to catch the ball at the backfield and do that as well. I know Barkley, you're sort of seeing it, but I think if you're going to maybe focus on that run game to get some versatile backs.
Yes, no doubt. If you're going to focus on the run game, you want that running back to contribute to the game in more than one aspect. Look, what Leonard Fournette's doing in Jacksonville is great. Being able to just be that traditional running back and pound some yards is really good. But those guys, they don't come a dime a dozen. So when you're looking at a running back, you want a person that, A, can catch out of the backfield. Run between the tackles. You know, B, catch out of the backfield. And, of course, C, run on the perimeter. So, I mean, all those things play a major part when looking at the running back position.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. No doubt about it. Speak with Marley Faber at Big Fave 504 is the way to chime in over on social media or give us a call, 800-998-1003. One of the things, obviously, to touch on as well that was fun, NFL Live after the Manning Passing Academy on Monday, they have a segment called Overreaction Monday. And they touched on Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. You take a look at each and you take a look at what, the questions are, or who would you take? You know, with Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, one of the things that Bill Polian and them said was they were able to really, with Peyton Manning, kind of change the game, right? Kind of be the field general once again, and to go back and forth and kind of call his own plays, kind of really mix defenses like that. When you take a look at both guys, are there similarities, and really what are the differences? I'm not talking about physical.
I'm sorry, Gus, you went out. What'd you say?
I was saying that when it comes to Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, what similarities or differences would you say either quarterbacks have?
Well, if you look at the similarities of those two guys, for one, Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, they're both pocket passers. Of course, Peyton is a little taller, and we'll get into that in a second, or a lot taller. But, you know, when a guy is able to step back, as soon as the ball is hacking and it's hut and you're in that three-second frame, who's the quickest thinker? And you know, those guys had really got to a point of their game to where they got that aspect of it down pat, being able to drop back into the formation. No speed guys. You know, these aren't mobile quarterbacks. These are guys that are very persistent passers. So accuracy and just putting the ball where it really needs to be. Being on the practice squad with those two guys, being on the defensive scout team side for both Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, that's one of the things that really sticked out to me in my playing time. The difference is, we said it earlier, the height. You know, Peyton's able to have a shorter offensive line because he can see over them and throw it. Drew really needs an offensive line to really block so mm-hmm. he can step up in his lanes and see and throw the ball because he's much shorter. But, I mean, both guys are Hall of Fame quarterbacks, of course. But, you know, the similarities, of course, is their persistency in the pocket, and the differences is more than likely is definitely the height.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, like I said, physical aspects, you can sort of look at it. Now, one of the things that the NFL Live crew was saying is, like, when it comes to Peyton Manning, he changed the game, right? Like just being able to call those plays and things of that nature. When you look at Drew Brees, how would you say if he affected the way the game was played? I mean, he has five 5,000 yard seasons.
Yes, I mean with Drew, I mean you couldn't ask for a better coach quarterback combination between him and Coach Sean Payton. Those two guys are again able to gel really well. So Drew had an opportunity to get into an offensive scheme that allowed him to pass a lot. So did Tom. So did Payton. So I mean, for Drew to not be out of place in his game is a plus in itself. And if you just look at again what he brings to the game as a quarterback, I mean, you're looking at a guy that's going to break another passing record this year. He's just climbing that ladder and hitting those milestones. So it's going to be. And then look, you put weapons around him. A receiving core that has hands that can make those plays, man. So I'm just really looking forward to, you know, seeing the black and gold this year, especially in their passing game, to be that number, that top tier, number one through three offensive threat in the league.
Big Fade 504 is a way to follow him over on Twitter. Marlon, as always, man, appreciate you chiming in the conversation, and we'll talk again later.
Hello. See you, bro.
There he goes, Marlon Favorite. Kind of sounded like he didn't care for the weekend to be over with just now. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Been having a little bit of fun today. I don't know. To me, it's just such a Falcon thing to do, right? Hey, Atlanta Falcons yesterday releasing that if you want to go to July 29th practice, that one in specifics. It's a Mercedes-Benz Superdome. $5 will get you in. But that $5 is going to go to the Atlanta Super Bowl Host Committee's Capital Improvement Project. Okay. In the Pro Football Talk story, they also mentioned the Panthers started charging their Fan Fest practice $5 a ticket. And but those donations, well, rather, those proceeds were donated to a team's charitable foundation. The Buccaneers, they're limiting access to their training camp, trying to use it as bait to get fans to buy season ticket packages. So maybe not making all of them open. Which got us to talking early in the show, just the overall thought of training camp practices. Would you pay if you were to go, if you're a Saints fan or, you know, to go to these practices? And we got some phone calls, obviously, and a lot of them were like, hey, if there's something for it, a padded practice, if there's a practice against teams, right? Like last year when the Saints held the joint practices with the Texans, fans wouldn't mind that. I said I would have an issue with anybody charging. Considering, you know, the success of the teams and in the league and everything. Now, again, to make sure everybody understands, the Saints aren't charging for practice. We're saying if they did for a cause, for an event, because I don't think they'd go the Falcon way here, right? I don't see the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation trying to get $5 from a practice in the Superdome to help fund the Super Bowl committee, right? But I said in the past, right, when they did a practice over, like, at a high school or at Yulman Stadium and stuff, and it's like a school drive, you can, like, you know, bring some school supplies in. It's great. I think they should do that every year as to why they do that. But apparently some folks out there thinking and feeling that it's the Saints looking to charge. No, that's not what we said, and it's not what they're doing. But I do find it interesting. It's kind of like market research right there. That if you did see Saints fans doing that, a lot of Saints fans said, yeah, if they got something for it. Jordan, You wanted something unrealistic. You wanted dome nachos. You wanted popcorn. You wanted all. You said you'd go $10 it was inside.
Free beer.
Brett actually agreed with me. Comes with a free beer, sure.
No, you're not getting free beer to go to practice. That's no. You make money off of free beer.
You make money off of free beer?
No, I mean you make money off of beer. That's why you would never do that. You're not making money off of free beer. Yeah. No.
I think you would.
Like
make
I said,
money
I think
beer.
Fans wouldn't have an issue. A, if it's charity, fans wouldn't have an issue if it had something to do, right? That would support a cause or something. But just to do the, I don't know, like I said, the Super Bowl host committee's capital improvement project. It's kind of hard for fans to go, wait a minute, don't you home, you know, own all the Home Depots? That stadium, I'm sure, wasn't completely all funded by him. It's just weird, right? It would just be weird. I said I'd pay $5 if, you know, they put shading on over the aluminum stands. You know, have a free section and a paid section that you would have. Some, but, again, I think something comes with it. Now, Daniel Snyder back in the day with the Redskins charged them all of them. And I think to kind of stop that, the NFL probably didn't like how that was going. As Larry Holder mentioned in hour number two, that the NFL said no problem, but if fans can come in there, then if you charge for practices, then teams can send the scout and go check out your practices. And guess what happened then? Ooh, teams stopped charging. Can't have other scouts hanging out at your practice and training camp. So we've had some fun with that because, again, I it's such a Falcon thing to me.
Do you think there's some teams that have undercover scouts that go to
Absolutely.
These...
I wouldn't surprise me.
I think
it's
so, too.
It wouldn't surprise me. Look, especially in this day and age, anybody and everybody can shoot stuff with... But it's sort of like... I believe Sean, in a lot of when he says, look, with DVRs, with... I mean, you can pay a subscription on NFL.com and get, like, all the different camera angles, the coaches tape, you know, and all. Like, you go do a lot. You see a lot of people that cover the team, you know, on Tuesday. They do the film breakdown, right? And you see, like, little circles drawn out. They use a lot of that. So you can go do that now. And I just think with the advent of all that, and now you have players mic'd up at the line of scrimmage. You have mics everywhere. I mean, Coach Payton has said that. You can get pretty much calls now just by listening to a television broadcast. So how much do you actually get from players? You know, this always comes up when a former Saints player is on the team. Right? But how much can I get from going out there and rolling on 60 minutes of video? I guess if I know what I'm looking for, I can. Formations and such. But with Sean Payton now entering his whatever season here, right, since 2006, you probably have a pretty good idea what you're getting. It's the same quarterback. You probably have a – now, their wrinkles, their different hand gestures every year. They change that by the game, different calls. But you pretty much have an idea, right? I guess what I'm getting at the end of the day comes down to execution. But then again, there's a reason the Patriots filmed practice. So you can get it. You can get it. But Jordan, as you know, it's the reason why during practices we are only allowed to be able to shoot stretchy time or individual drills, no team. So, it is what it is. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. NOLA is the way to find us over on social media as well. So many other things that we've been touching on again. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, I liked hearing Brees being put by the NFL live crew in that same category, right? With Brady and Manning in there. And it's crazy Brees has a shot to pass Manning this year. Week 5, everyone's predicting perhaps could be the night against the Redskins. 488 TDs, Peyton Manning 539. Do you think he ever gets to the touchdown mark? Jordan?
Yeah.
It's 51 TDs away.
That's it? All he has to do is what? Three touchdowns a game.
That's it. That's play. See, you keep saying play Cleveland. You brought up this stat last year. The last five games or six games against Cleveland, what are the Saints?
4-1-4.
Yeah, exactly.
But
what?
But you could throw a lot
Stop
of touchdowns.
It. I see what you're trying to do, trying to make it seem like it's a walkthrough. It's not. It's not going to be.
I'm trying to make it a trap game.
Mm-hmm. Joey from Cleveland, in case you're not wondering.
Yeah, bring your canned goods and come watch practice. Dent it or not.
Do you think Breeze ever gets an MVP?
Yes.
I think this year is as good as any.
Should have already had one.
Oh, I'm 100% in agreement with you. 100% in agreement with you. It'd be interesting to see. Who would you say would be the top five MVP candidates going in this year? I bet you most of them are in the NFC. All right, let's find Brady. Every year, Brady. Bell?
Yep.
For Pittsburgh?
Yep.
Is that it in the AFC? Who's your surprise MVP pick? Brian and Elise would throw a pin at me. I might say Carr. I think yeah. John Gruden with Carr is, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, 2 years ago, that team was headed to the NFC Championship game. Then he got hurt.
That's someone from Jacksonville.
It's hard to see a defensive player get that. I mean, you have to have like a ridiculous season, you know. But in the NFC, okay, you start with Wentz, right? Don't you start with Wentz?
Over Drew?
Well, I'm saying you start with, he's a candidate. I'm not saying, yeah. You start with Carson Wentz. Yeah. He's an MVP candidate.
He's an MVP.
I thought he won it last year.
I disagree, but okay.
How can you disagree? How can you possibly disagree? You don't think he deserved it last year? You don't think he was heading that way if he doesn't get hurt?
Well, we don't know what he would look like in the playoffs.
Oh, stop it.
What do you mean?
They were the number one seed.
Okay,
in the NFC.
Show me what you could do in the playoffs.
Wow. Okay. Guess what happens? The voting is in the regular season, Jordan. So the playoffs wouldn't have mattered.
Which is, again, why it's
Well, I'm just saying,
NBA
it wouldn't have mattered.
And both of them are
Just
stupid.
Saying. All right, so you start there. Give me another MVP candidate in the NFC.
Alvin Kamara.
See, I threw that out there, too. So you're saying the Saints have two MVP candidates?
Possibly three.
Okay. Now.
Can't guard Mike.
Stop it.
Who's to say you, Gus?
Stop it. They don't have three MVP candidates.
I beg to differ. My eyes have seen it.
Three MVP candidates?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know the whole reason that one team has one MVP candidate is he's the MVP. Not only the league, but that team.
Yeah, but we have three.
Stop.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
So what you're doing is you're putting Alvin Kamara and Mike Thomas on the same plane with Drew Brees.
Yeah, I guess I'm speaking into existence.
All right. I want you to tell Cam Jordan that, too.
Okay, actually, yeah, four.
So now four.
Four.
You're a joke.
How am I a joke? I'm just speaking pure facts.
You're speaking like you just absolutely chugged the Kool-Aid. Team's deep and good. You can tell me they have four MVP candidates? Like four best players in the entire league.
The heat in here might be
five.
Getting to my head.
Joey wants five. Who's the fifth one?
Thomas Morstead. What are
you
talking about?
I play with broken ribs.
The best punter in the game.
Imagine a punter winning the MVP of the league.
It should happen.
No, you know what that means? That means your offense is terrible. Because that means he would have to punt so much and punt so well that he would be the MVP of the league. It wouldn't be a good season if Thomas Morstead was your MVP.
Is he not like the top three most important player on the team?
You're not listening to what I'm saying. MVP of the league.
Okay, but isn't
of
a
the
punter
league.
Not...
Not your team even.
Okay.
Again, if Thomas Morstead was the MVP of the Saints, not a good season. Not a good season.
What if he was the MVP of the league?
No, even worse of a season. You would have
week.
To have like 150 punts inside the 10. I mean, what would it take? That's my question out loud. What would it take for a punter to win MVP of the league?
And you'd have to get three,
yeah, every
three
punt
or less
down
yards.
At the one?
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, every punt down at the one all season. I don't know how an MVP, I don't know how a
or
punter
the,
could win
The
it.
Punter could you know, strip the ball a couple times and take it back for a touchdown.
So now you want Taysom Hill, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
You want him to punt it, go down and field it, force a fumble, and score. That's what you want. That's what it would have to be for the punter to win the MVP of the league.
It's possible.
Stop it. Sports Hangover puts a wrap on things. We come back next on ESPN New Orleans.
I'll get it for you, Captain.
That's what I like to hear.
Captain Jordan.
That's right. Don't forget, this week we'll be on the road. Ground Patty over in Houma on Wednesday, 101 Bayou Gardens Boulevard. We'll be doing the show live there from 12 to 3. And then on Thursday, we'll be in Metairie, the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street. 17th and Ridge Lake, just about, essentially, right? A block or two off Causeway on 17th Street. So come on out and see us. We'll be doing the show live from there from 12 to 3. Taking an awful long time to give me a score update here, buddy.
The internet's horrible.
Oh, here we go. Are you blaming the internet?
Yeah, I can't even find it.
Pels are losing 61-46.
Where'd you find that?
I don't know. Pelicans.com.
We're on ESPN
Shocking.
Pelicans page.
Pelicans.com. You know, the team's website.
I know.
I mean, seriously, I know it's crazy to think.
We're getting our butts spanked.
If you go to the team's website,
wow,
you can actually find out what someone's doing.
Technology, man. It's crazy.
Oh, boy.
That's so crazy.
You know what? Blue.
Where's the submarine, Gus?
No, it's not the submarine.
I'm waiting. Time's a ticking.
So, who do we talk a lot about today?
Talked about our boy.
Mm-hmm.
Blueprint, whatever his name.
Blueprint?
Yeah.
Really? That's what you went with?
Blewett.
Blueprint.
Thank you. Trayvon Blewett.
Blewett.
Yeah.
Trayvon Blewett.
Well, guess what's happening right now. He's not hurt. Let's just get that out the way. But, so 24 and 26 points in his first two games. What did we say? What did we say today when we talked to Daniel Salerson? We said, let's see what happens now in this game. People are going to kind of focus on him, right?
Is that a bunch of zeros I'm seeing?
He has 6 points. 2 for 5 from the field, 6 points. 1 of 2 from downtown. Not a lot of threes.
It's only the second quarter.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, though. I mean, he's going to have a really big second half.
He get 10 points out of 16 points. He's fine. Stop overreacting.
I don't know. Well, look, I'm just saying, 24 and 26 points gets us to talk to you. 6 points, well, you know.
10 more points to get 16, so I'm perfectly fine with 16 points. Yeah,
well, look, I mean, again, I mean, you were knocking down threes and...
Well, sorry, he's not a robot.
I'm just saying he's only taking two. It's just surprising. He's only taking two.
He's a team player. He doesn't need to shoot every time.
No, in summer league, you need to go all out.
He's dishing it to Chet. How many does Chet have?
9.
Exactly. He's dishing it to Chet. Who's the top scoring leader?
Blewett, by the way, has no assists.
Okay, well then who's the top scoring?
That's Shaq with 9.
Okay. So he's the second, I'm guessing. Top scoring.
No, he's not. It's Siobhan Shields with 7 points. Yep. I was just saying, I mean, this is a guy that was 12 of 18 from downtown, and he's 1 of 2.
It's only the second quarter, Gus.
You're right. Maybe in the second half he comes back and starts lighting it up.
I hate to agree with Jordan, but I'm looking at my calculator. This is all adding up.
What's that?
What are you saying?
How is it adding up?
I don't know. I got a good calculator.
Exactly.
It's a Jordan special.
You don't think it's coincidence that we talked about him and all of a sudden he...
I didn't talk about him. You talked about him. You were like, let's talk about this guy today.
You did too. You talked about him. Daniel Salerson talked about him.
But it wasn't.
We talked about it.
It wasn't Daniel Salerson. Stop trying to blame it on Daniel.
I'm just saying he was the story of summer league.
So you mentioned him. I was mentioning him all day yesterday, and everything was fine. You bring him up once, and now he's only scoring 6 points. Not coincidence anymore.
All right. Well. All right. Scott Kushner earlier tweeted, breaking, Trevin Blewett missed a shot. He's just, maybe it's just not his day today, you know?
Oh, so he missed one shot, so now it's, oh, the world's coming to an end.
Well, again, I mean, you know, he was on his way to the Summer League Hall of Fame, right? Summer League Hall of Fame, that's where he was heading. Anyway, that'll put a wrap on our show. Don't forget now, each and every weekday morning, it's Off the Bench from 7 to 9 a.m., Jordy Collada and T-Bob Hebert. You can follow them on Twitter at Jordy Collada and at T-Bob53 if you'd like to do so as well. It's Golic and Wingo till 7. Off the Bench, 7 to 9. Dan Le Batard from 9 to noon. Us, 12 to 3. And then right now, it's Matt Moscona. But after further review, and on Mondays, of course, coming up in a little bit at 6 o'clock, it's Charlie Ricks and Ola Golf Academy Live from Golf Tech here in Metairie. Matt Moscona's up next. Don't go anywhere. You've been listening to ESPN New Orleans.